So, glad you're here. Wednesday starting up again. The sad truth is we've only got 3 Wednesdays left together. Don't cry.
I'm dying.
Yeah.
Rick is dead.
But, so it's been a tough... It's been a tough transition. It's definitely a sad time, but I'm thankful for what God has done and what he's going to do, what he's been doing. And I kind of, as I was thinking about what do we do for these 3 weeks, it was kind of one of those, well, if you had 3 weeks with a group, you know, what would you talk about that you haven't already kind of gone over? And so the thing that fits is this whole idea, and I posted on Facebook, I said that we're going to do a 3-week series on saying yes to God. Because even though this situation has been tough for me, that's what I believe I have done. I've said yes to what he called me to do. But we're not going to talk about the sad stuff for 3 weeks. That's just kind of the concept that we're going to go over. And there's a lot of good stuff that comes with that as well. And how many of you have seen the movie Yes Man before? Only half? It's a pretty funny movie. It's the movie Yes Man.
Royal Blue.
So here's the concept. The concept of that movie is that the character played by Jim Carrey, he's kind of fed up with life, the things that have happened in his past. He's really upset over. He's just not open to anything from that point on. Don't make me separate you guys, please. So he says no to everything. He's just doesn't want to do any new experiences. He doesn't want to meet new people. Nothing. He wants to go to work, go home, not be bothered. Even some of his best friends, there are scenes where he's like on the phone pretending like he's busy when he's just like, I just don't want to hang out with anybody. So he's not open to life in any way. Then he goes to this seminar, and this guy, basically he's telling everyone just to say yes instead of saying no all the time. And so he actually goes directly up to Jim's character, and he says, from now on, you need to start saying yes to all new opportunities. You know, even if somebody asks you to do something that you don't want to do, say yes to it, see what happens. And so that's what he starts to do. He takes the challenge. He starts saying yes to everything. If you've seen the movie, you know a lot of crazy things go on with that. But he also, he starts to be open in life. Some good things happen. He meets some really cool people. And kind of the point of it is like later on, he really, he finds himself, he's just, there's a new attitude towards life that he was lacking before. And so it's kind of, I guess, kind of just a thing to talk about to begin the series. But don't mistake it for what we're talking about, because I'm not saying that we're supposed to say yes to everything in life, okay? Let's get that out of the way. There's multiple things we should say no to. That's very obvious.
Drugs.
Good job. So, yeah, there's all kinds of things. And also, don't forget this. Don't forget this fact that being told no, whether it's by a parent, teacher, or, you know, laws or whatever it is, being told no is actually one of the most important things we'll ever hear in our life. Because we don't want to feel entitled to everything. We don't want to feel like, well, I should get this now and when I want it and how I want it and blah, blah, blah. You know, being told no is a very important part of life. So this whole series that we're doing is kind of about when do you say yes and when do you say no. And the bottom line is when God calls you to do something, we need to be people who say yes. We need to be yes men, yes women to God, whether it's whatever he calls you to do, whether it's difficult or you don't know the outcome or it's risk, whatever you want to call it. We got to be people who say yes to God, okay? And so I put a little thing here. It's kind of like saying, you know, what if what he's asking me to do is difficult? Yes, yes to God. What if it's a big risk? Yes, God. What if I don't know the outcome of what he's asking?
Yes.
Yes, yes, God. There's all kinds of places in the Bible, if you look at, like, how about when Jesus first called people to follow him, he would say things like, drop your nets and follow me, you know, leave your work, follow me, leave your family, follow me, leave everything and follow me. And some of the people would instantly, they'd say, yes, I'm going to follow you. Other people would kind of give him excuses like, well, let me finish my business first and then maybe, and that's not going to cut it if you want to follow God. There's a story in Luke 5, one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Jesus told these fishermen, he said, hey, you need to cast your nets right now. And one of them said, one of them spoke up and said, we've been doing this all night long. We haven't caught a single fish. So at first, it kind of looks like he's about to say, we're not doing this again. We've been doing it all night, haven't caught a thing. But then he says, but if you say so, we will do it. And then if you know what happens next, they catch so much fish that the nets almost break. And that's one of my favorite stories, because that's the attitude that we need to have. If he calls you to do something, and in the back of your mind, you're kind of like, I don't know about this. But the attitude needs to be, but if you say so, I'm going to do it. Good things will happen when we say yes to God. We should make it like that seminar in the movie. Everyone say yes every time. I just kidding. I want to share real quick a quote with you. You guys know I love quotes. This one's been on my heart lately. I'll read it to you a couple times and see what you think about it. It says, God can do more with a committed few than he can with a multitude of people who only have casual interest. So I'll read it one more time and let me know what you think it means at a deeper level. God can do more with a committed few than with a multitude with only casual interest. What do you think? Is there?
Well, it's kind of like a church. If you have only, it's kind of like some are casual, some are committed. But then if you have some that go on mission trips, those are usually the more committed people. So you more stuff gets done, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's a good example. Actually, I have in my notes an analogy. What do you think would be more effective? A youth group of five, and every one of them is committed and sold out to do whatever God wants, or a group of 50, who everyone is just kind of, we're here to be entertained and not a big deal. The five, I believe, would definitely do more because they're committed. Not just a youth group or a church example. It could be lots of different examples. When people are committed and really working at it together, that's when good things happen. And so it's kind of the same thing I've been talking about. Again, even things are difficult and whatever, we need to be those people, those committed people, to say yes. Think of the disciples, right? If they weren't committed, there was only a few of them going up against lots. If they weren't committed, we wouldn't even be here today. And so very thankful for them. What about a modern example? Think of all the businesses and corporations that we know that are very successful today. They did not get successful because, well, thousands of people got together and, they started with a committed few. Like every one of them started with this idea, and a few people, maybe 10 to 20 at the most, very committed people, hard workers, they bring this idea and then they grow. And then as they grow, then they add people to it, right? And that's kind of a glimpse of what Christianity was all about. Started with a committed few, and then as we were committed to it, we continue to grow and grow and grow. And so that's kind of where we need to be and what we need to do. It does take commitment, takes energy, takes time, and as we talked about before, it takes discipline. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. And here's the thing. I know I was in your shoes not too long ago, not too old.
What were you wearing my shoes?
Huh? Because I like the red and black. It's...
I know. Far better than blue.
But anyway, I was in high school. I remember what it's like to think to myself, and you probably, some of you may think this too. You may think, well, I'm a kid. I don't need to be so committed to stuff. I don't need to take things so seriously. I don't need to work super hard yet. In some cases, yes. Okay, I will agree. In some cases, yes, you should be allowed to be a kid and enjoy things, and some things you don't have to do like adults have to do. That's fine, and I encourage you in those cases to be that way. But what I want to encourage you with is when it comes to doing the will of God, especially if you have a relationship with him and you know what it is, we need to say yes and be committed in that work. Because I promise you, take from my experience, you do not want to look back at high school with regrets and thinking, man, I should have done this more and shared my faith more and all that, been more committed to youth stuff, like, you don't want to have those regrets, because I do. It's not fun to think that way. So just remember that, and God's will for your life, being committed and working hard, even as a young, at a young age. Another thing to remember is we can't just say yes to some of the things and then either no or maybe. Maybe's a big one, I feel like, in today's world. We always want to say maybe. We don't want to be maybe men, maybe women to God. Got to be yes men, yes women. And it's kind of like this. I broke it down with a couple examples. Like, God wants to save me from hell. Please do, right? Yes. I'm going to say yes to that. God wants to bless me. Yes. God loves me. Yes. Thank you. God wants me to give up partying. Ooh. No thanks. No thanks, God. God wants me to stay pure until I'm married. No thanks, God. Or God wants me to go through a tough time so I can learn to grow. No thanks. So it's kind of like that. We can't be that way. We've got to say yes even when the things are difficult. We open up God's word and we read things that for our own good, what we should do and how we should be. That's up to us. It's a choice to say yes or not. And we don't want to just use God for the benefits without the discipline that comes with those, okay? We got to get to that relationship, that part of our relationship where we trust Him daily. And easier said than done, but that's why we work together. That's why we continue to study and read and pray, work together, and that becomes a little easier at least. Have an example from my coaching days. I coached a team at Creekside Christian one time, and they were so good. No, just kidding. There are a couple of them are here, so I can't. Actually, this is from a long time ago, this example. And I've mentioned it real briefly, but I didn't go into too much detail. But as a coach of basketball, I've noticed that a lot of people think they're good basketball players because they can shoot. And they basically think, well, that means I'm a good player. I can go out on the court, make lots of shots in a row. I must be a good basketball player. So much more to the game than that. Cameron, yeah, he can shoot, so Miami Heat, watch out. Better than Chris Bosh.
Oh.
Just said that because Taylor's here. But a lot of people feel that way, and I mean, lots of kids who have been on my teams that I've coached or played with back in the day, that's in their mind. I can shoot, so I'm a good player. There was one kid in particular. It was a freshman team that I coached, and he, even one day in practice, said, "Hey, coach, watch," because he was like, he wasn't a starter, he didn't play very much, so, and he's a really good shooter when it's just him on the court with the basketball. He can light it up, okay? So one day at practice, he got in his mind, like, I'm going to show coach that I'm a really good basketball player. So he, and I kid you not, he hit 5 3-pointers in a row. And then he looked, gave me one of those looks, and he was like, why am I not starting? So then I went out on the court, and I simply put a hand up, like close to where a defender would be in a game, and he didn't make one. He took 5 shots. He just made 5 in a row. He missed all 5. And I wasn't going to say, like, that's why you're not starting. No, I didn't say that. But I was proving a point that it's completely different when you get in the game. There's somebody guarding you. They're trying to stop you from scoring. There's referees. There's a fancy scoreboard. There's a crowd, cheerleaders, coaches screaming. It's completely different than I'm in my gym shooting a basketball. And so that, I've learned a lot about Christianity and life just through sports and coaching. And the comparison is, I feel like a lot of Christians are kind of this way, where they talk a big game, and they say, you know, I have a really strong faith, and my relationship with God is really strong, and it's very simple. It's me and Him, and I read my word and whatever. And then when life happens, whether it's something difficult or whatever, or maybe they just get busy, whatever the case is, their faith kind of disappears a little bit. And it's a similar thing to me as that example. We don't want to be people who just talk a big game, and then when life happens, we're just like, we'll push God off to the side. We don't want to do that. And I really think that fits into this whole concept, this whole idea of we got to say yes to God, again, even through the difficult times, not knowing the outcome, the risks, the hurts, all that. We still got to say yes to God. So I said before, yes versus no, there's a choice there. And you guys have heard, I think, at CIY they talked about say no now so you can say yes later. Say no to the things that may be enticing now. That way later on, you can say yes to the blessings God's going to bring you from it. The other example is one day on your wedding day, when you say yes to someone, you're also saying no to everyone else. Everyone else at that point is a no because I'm saying yes to this commitment. And in a similar way, when you say yes to God, there's going to be a lot of other things that you need to say no to. And we're going to struggle with stuff. We're human. We're not perfect. But do our very best. Strive for God and pursue Him in all that we do. Anyone want to share any examples of a time you said either no to the world or yes to Jesus and what happened as a result of that? Want to know.
I guess just kind of like accepting the like ministry at CIY was kind of one of those things where it's like saying yes to God and no to a lot of other stuff that I'm never planning on doing.
And you're still saying yes, right?
Yes.
Good. Anyone else? Anytime you said no or yes, in a good way. Some of the biblical, you got one? Never mind. We got some of the biblical examples.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. From the Old Testament, Noah obviously had a choice. Build a boat, as the video says. God told me to build a boat. Fortunately, he did. Moses stood before the burning bush, said yes to God, even though at first, if you recall, Moses was kind of like, God, you're choosing the wrong dude, because I stutter, I can't speak for you. And God's like, I made your mouth. And Moses is like, oh yeah, I guess I can do this. And so then he said yes, even though he was skeptical at first. This is a big one, because we celebrated Christmas not long ago. Can you imagine that situation? And we watched it, you know, through the Bible DVD. When Mary is approached by the angel, it'd be very easy for her to say, forget it, there's no way. People will try to have me killed because I'm not married yet, and they won't believe me. But instead, her words were, I'm the Lord's servant, and my soul magnifies the Lord. So she said yes, even though it was difficult. And then obviously the disciples, little piece from Matthew I'm going to read real quick. It says, Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He watched two brothers, Simon and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. So they said yes, even though it meant leaving their job, everything they knew, leave it behind. They said yes. And I'm hoping one of you, at least one, can get this. We've been going over this through the white book and also in here. There's one verse that Jesus said, which is basically the definition of a disciple. This is something you got to remember. It should be easy. If I start it, you'll probably know it.
Oh, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Got it. Hey, Lauren, that's the Great Commission. It's pretty much the same thing. This one, though, listen. Correct.
It's all her.
Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. It's one simple sentence, but he says three parts in one. So from this day on, if you're ever questioning what really is a disciple, is it just a follower or is there more to it? Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And the cool thing is, this is kind of how we define a disciple. The cool thing is, did you hear the verse I read right after it? What did they do? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So they said yes to that call. They were saying not just to one or two of the three, all three. Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will let you continue to change me and make me what you want. And yes, I will fish for men too. I will reach others because of our relationship that we have going on. So to be a disciple, you have to have discipline, but you have to say yes. You got to be committed to that. And so these next three, well, the next two after this one, Wednesdays, we'll talk more about all this, this concept, and don't do that.
Yeah.
Just make it real if you're going to do it. You're confusing. Any comments or questions or concerns or prayer requests?